ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नाम श्रेष्ठं मनमपि शचीपुत्रमत्र स्वरूपं रूपं तस्याग्रजमुरुपुरीं मातुरीं गोष्ठवतीं राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिका माधवाशं प्राप्तो यस्य प्रथितः कृपया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतः पदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणरघुनाथन्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता शिवशाखान्वितांश्च। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। One of my god brothers, our god brothers, Kalyapani Prabhu, just passed away. Kalyapani is how he's been known throughout his life since he was initiated. The actual or proper pronunciation in Bengali would be Kalyapani, in Sanskrit Kalyapani, but he's always been known as Kalyapani. He just passed away. Difficult to say exactly. It was 8:30 at night in Eastern time in the USA, so that was approximately 1.5 days ago from the time that I'm speaking now. I'm first of all going to read. There's appeared on the Dandavats website a obituary or tribute to him by Adikata Prabhu. Now, Adikata Prabhu, Kalyapani, these are devotees who, practically since I joined, I know them, and they've been in devotional service throughout their lives. All great souls. So I'm just going to read Adikata Prabhu's tribute, and then I'm going to speak myself about Kalyapani Prabhu. So Adikata Prabhu, my obeisances to you. I'm reading your obituary. He wrote, "It is with great sadness that we announce the unexpected loss of our dear god brother and friend Kalyapani Das, who was killed in a motorcycle accident Thursday night in Alachua, Florida. I knew Kalyapani since he joined ISKCON in 1975. He was from an upper-class English family, had expensive private schooling and an aristocratic upbringing. Almost from the day he joined, he became a traveling Sankirtan devotee. In fact, he was the rock on which the great British Sankirtan army was built. He and his deceased brother, Satyavag Prabhu, were both very helpful in establishing the British Yatra as a leading Sankirtan force. For many years, he traveled in a small van, heading up a fleet of other Sankirtan vans. He was never the top book distributor, but he was the backbone of the party. I remember the time when the great Sankirtan warrior Praghosh visited the UK, and he and I were engaged in a fierce competition. It was Kalyapani Prabhu who humbly did all the backup work. He was also the temple commander at Chaitanya College, and he was always very busy serving His Holiness Shivaram Swami, the president. He would always do the needful. He was a humble, serious devotee who was a true gentleman. He had many talents as well. He was a wonderful orator, a larger-than-life actor who reveled in playing Ravana or Hiranyakashipu. His Nrsimha prayers with the harmonium were celestial. He was a great kirtan leader, knew many beautiful melodies, and had a big taste for Harinam Sankirtan. He never missed an opportunity to join a party taking the holy names to the streets. He moved to the Alachua community in the early 2000s and did a variety of services. He was always dependable and was a good friend to all. He had a habit of never refusing to do anything he was asked, a rare quality indeed, especially in a senior man with so many skills. He was an expert arborist. An arborist is someone who looks after trees, prunes them, and so on. He was an expert arborist and took care of all the hundreds of trees at New Raman Reti. That's the ISKCON property in Alachua, Florida. New Raman Reti served the guests at the Sunday feast and was an important part of the farm family, our devotees who live on temple property and keep the back end running. I'm not sure exactly what that means, keep the back end running. I guess that means keeping things going on. He came to see me the evening before he passed away, and he revealed that although his life had been full of ups and downs, he now felt very happy and satisfied in his Krishna consciousness. He was very dear to many devotees because he was a soft-spoken, encouraging friend to all. He will be surely missed by many. Your servant, Adikarta Das. Okay, now I'm just going to speak a few of my own remembrances. I spent a lot of time with him way back in the 1970s. But I can't remember so many things. Okay, now I joined ISKCON. I was allowed in the doors, mercifully. That must have been just after Easter in 1975. And I joined at Bhaktivedanta Manor. And after about 2 weeks there, I was sent to the Berry Place Center in London, central London. And I'm pretty sure I first saw Bhakta Jamie, as he was then known there. And he was initiated shortly thereafter as Kaliapani Das. He must have joined about 2 or 3 months before me. And shortly after I joined, his younger brother joined. Can't remember what his name was previous to initiation, but he was later initiated as Satyavag Das. And myself and Satyavag were very close. We used to go out every day in London on book distribution together. So as Adikarta Prabhu said, they're from an upper crust kind of family, but they never made a point of that, or they never had any class consciousness or any such thing. They're very different personalities. Of the two, Kaliapani was much more grave, much more grounded. He was a very intense person in those days. In those early days, he was very intense, had a lot of energy, a lot of drive. But it was all, he steered it all into devotional service. He was very, very focused. I did a lot of Sankirtan with both of them. Like I said, I was in central London doing books with Satyavag Prabhu. There were so many devotees going out on book distribution, but we too would go together, myself and Satyavag, who died quite a few years ago. Satyavag. And then for several months, myself, Kaliapani, who was the leader, and Medhavi Prabhu, the three of us were in a Ford Transit van doing traveling Sankirtan in northern England, mostly in northern England, as far as I remember. We went to places like, say, if I had Mansfield, Scunthorpe, Doncaster, not exactly the most romantic destinations, but we used to do a lot of books every day. Kalyapani, he'd usually be just ahead of me. Sometimes I'd do more books than him. At that time, Medhavi Prabhu wasn't doing many books, but he'd go out and really try every day. He never gave up. He kept on trying. And then later, Medhavi Prabhu went to South Africa, and his trying, that came to fruition when he became a huge collector for building the Radha Radhanath Temple in Durban. Anyway, we were on this party, and like I say, Kalyapani Prabhu was really intense. We all were intense. You have to be intense to do book distribution like that. Go out on the street every day. We were all very regulated. We were distributing Krishna books, softbound Krishna books. Very regular and very focused means we didn't speak a word more than we needed to. We knew what we'd had to do. We'd get up in the morning, no lying in the sleeping bag, nothing. We'd wake up, get up. For some time, I remember we were in sub-zero temperatures 24 hours a day because we'd sleep inside the van with no heating. And during the day, it was a very cold winter. That must have been the winter, it must have been the winter of 76, 77, or maybe it was 75, 76, I can't remember. I think it was 76, 77. And it was a really cold winter, and we were up in the northeast of England with a cold wind coming in off the North Sea, and it was really cold. And because we didn't want to waste time cooking, we would take in the morning for breakfast dried fruit, that's raisins, dates, some other things, and butter, cold butter, and the luxury was hot milk. That's what we'd take every morning, and then nothing until the evening, when we would take only hot milk. That was it. That was our diet. Usually we'd go out for 6 days in a row, drive back to the manor, Bhaktivedanta Manor, on Saturday night, or usually Saturday night, have a big kirtan at Bhaktivedanta Manor, stock up with books, and go out again by Sunday afternoon. England being a small country, you could do that. You could drive from the north of England to London in 2.5 hours. Lancashire we went also, some places. I can't remember now all the places we went to. Of course I can't. So it was very cold and it was a terrible diet, speaking from the nutritional point of view, to eat like that every day. He was so strict, Kalyapani. I remember once I snuck a samosa from the Sunday feast. And I took it when we were driving out on Sunday afternoon. He chastised me for that. He could smell I was eating some samosa. So, but we were very tight. We didn't waste any time. We'd usually spend 1 or 2 days in a place, no more than that. And then in the evening we'd drive to another town, usually not very far away. And we didn't plan it out that much in advance. We'd just look at the map and go on to the next spot. And we'd sleep in some parking, car park, whatever. And yeah, freezing cold bath every morning. I wonder how the water didn't freeze. I guess it must have been. Yeah, England, it doesn't usually get really cold, so the water we'd bathe in. So unsurprisingly, I got pretty sick from all of that, especially considering I have a very thin body. But pravritti, according to Ayurveda, so I got really crippled, actually, and I needed to go to a warm climate, and I came to India. I didn't see him much after that. He was very intense. Later on, he cooled down a lot. He remained intense in his attitude to devotional service, that we're here to serve, that he was no-nonsense kind of type. In the early days, he was very intense. In kirtan, he'd be playing those jaja, we call them the wampas, and really play them. He must have shattered quite a few wampas. He'd play them really heavily and really get into kirtan. As Adhikara Prabhu said, he was a good kirtan leader, but he was never the type to push himself forward. He would lead kirtans, but he wasn't the kind who would really push himself forward to lead kirtans. He liked to be in kirtans. I remember him sometimes on those Sundays, he'd like to sit just before Guru Puja at the manor, and he'd get out the harmonium and he'd sing some bhajans. Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, I remember him singing. And as Adhikarta Prabhu said, he had some celestial sounds like that. So, as I said, we hardly spoke a word more than we needed to. Sometimes we talk on the way back when we were driving on Saturday evening. Sometimes we go out for 2 weeks at a row, usually 1 week at a time. We wouldn't talk much, but we had a very strong bond between us. And our Sankirtan party, most of the parties had to be reshuffled every week because devotees didn't get on with each other. But our party, it stayed together I guess that must have been the whole winter. And I'm not sure how it broke up. I think it broke up when I was sent to Ireland with Rancho Prabhu, but I can't remember. Maybe it was with... Anyway, I can't remember exactly how we broke up. But we were very strong. We had a very strong bond between us. We were very tight. We were very close. Even though we didn't speak much, it was all based on devotional service. And we were just out there to do a job. Like I said, we'd get up in the morning, we'd sing together, we'd chant our rounds, we'd read a little bit together, we'd take breakfast, and then he was out on books all day till the shopping streets. We'd go in the shopping streets. We were outside and it was freezing cold. They would start to get busy about 9 o'clock, and then by about 5 o'clock, 5:30, it was all over. There was hardly anyone around. So that was our day. We had a 9-to-5 day like the average British worker, and we'd be out there working all day. Working means selling books. Yeah, I remember now, Huddersfield, Sheffield, Birmingham, some of the places we went to together, but I can't remember them all. One time in Mansfield, some nondescript town in the north of England, Nottinghamshire, we were in a car park. We just had the morning program. I was just offering the bhog, which, as like I said, consisted of dried fruit, maybe some nuts. I don't think I took nuts, and some butter and milk. And all of a sudden, we were surrounded by two or three police cars, and we just drove up, and a police guy got inside, and he got inside the driving seat and drove us off and took us to the police station. And they were pretty rough with us, and they interrogated us, but they couldn't find anything wrong with us, so they let us go. That was a bit unusual, that we wasted. We were upset because we wasted about 2 hours of our time. They're trying to find out that we didn't do anything wrong, so they had to let it. They couldn't find that we did anything wrong. But that was a constant meditation, that we were always in trouble. Always, not always in trouble. There was always the threat of being arrested. We'd have to keep a watch out for the police. Oh, one time I remember I was with Kalyapani, we did traveling Sankirtan in London. That means that we were in South London, in Sutton and Croydon and places like that. And it was traveling sanctuary. And we might think, well, you might as well drive back to the temple each night. But we thought, no, we get too entangled if we go to the temple. So we just stayed out. It wasn't very good, actually. It was very tough in South London. But I remember he had a line, and I copied it from him. It was really hilarious that people would walk past, and just as they were going past, he would call out in a strong voice, "Excuse me, do you speak English?" Because it's very difficult to get people to stop. And at that time in South London, everyone spoke English. Nowadays, I don't know. But it was very difficult to get people to stop, but they'd immediately stop and turn around because I suppose they thought that someone needed some help. So this way, they would turn around and come back and they're all attention, and then he'd show them the book. And in many cases, sell them the book. So that was a funny line. I learned from him. That just came right. Yeah. So he was very intense, and as Adhikarta Prabhu pointed out, he was a leader, but he was a leader sub leader. He wasn't the one to push himself forward, either in kirtan or in any way. But he'd take responsibility and take on service, do it very responsibly. And he was very serious and intense in the practice of Krishna consciousness. I remember one time, must have been one evening, we were driving, and we'd drive about half an hour or something to another town. And I was leading a kirtan with kartals. We only brought kartals. We didn't want to take up space with a madanga. We needed the space for the box. Oh, that's another thing. It was so cold. We'd sleep on the box. And then in the night, the ice would form inside the van. And then it would drip down. Stalagmites or something. There'd be a little... What's that? Something like stalagmite, little one of ice, and then it would drip down and wake us up in the night. So I was leading the kirtan, and sometimes in those days devotees used to sing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, then we're going home back to Godhead. And I sang that in English, and he looked at me, he was driving. Looks like he didn't like that too much. And then I sang something else, like, which I'd heard from someone else, book distribution, it's the only solution. They just said to me one word, illapati, in a voice which expressed discontent. And I never sung that. Disapproval. And I never sung that ever again. So, I went to India. I needed a warm climate because of the health condition I got into due to this crazy program. I mean, spiritually it was great, but from a physical point of view, it was about the worst thing you could do for a body that's susceptible to collapse in the cold. So I needed a warm climate, and I was thinking maybe South Africa, and then I decided to go to India. So I was out of contact with him for quite some time. Now, when did I go back to England then? I went back, I left in 77, I was there briefly in 1979, I think it was, 1979, and then the next time must have been, the next time I touched bases with him must have been 1986, which when we were young men, that gap of about 7, 8, 9 years, that was like a long time in our lives. But I met him again then. By that time, he had got married. Many things had happened in ISKCON, especially in ISKCON, England. The Emperor Bhagawan had become the GBC. He built up his empire and then collapsed. And he told me, must have been at that time, or maybe it was later, I can't remember anyway, but at some point he told me that Bhagawan, the GBC guru, had told Kalyapani that you either marry or take sannyas. one of the two. So Kalyapani married, and although I might have seen more that he was suited for sannyas, because he was very serious, very intense, didn't mess about with the ladies, or didn't mess about in any way. But he had a lot of passion, you could say, passion, but it was all directed. He directed it all in Krishna's service. By passion, I mean, if it was a materialist, you'd say rajagun, and for a devotee, you'd say it's a strong desire to serve. He had a lot of energy at that time. He always did throughout his life, but as I say, later on, he cooled down in his whole attitude. Means, difficult to say, like Adhikata Prabhu says that he is a real gentleman, which he really was, but in earlier he had, like I said, like I sung something pretty strange, and then he'd just get on your case just like that. So, he told me then he decided to marry, and at that point when I was in England, that must have been, was that 1986? Maybe it was later sometime. Yeah, maybe it was later, but I can't really remember. But anyway, he went to France, which was Bhagavan's own, and he was married to he told me all this. He married to a girl who had been raised in the Gurukul there. I believe her name was it Nama Krishna? I can't remember exactly. And he told me that he was going to, he said he was going to leave her. She says she's a very good girl, but it's just not good for my spiritual life to be with a woman. And I didn't get on his case or anything, which I would have done in many people's cases, but he definitely wasn't in a mood to listen about that. So he did leave her. I remember it must have been just after he told me that. I don't know if he confided in me or he told others that also, but just must have been a day or two after that he told me that I was going, I think it was from the manor to Luton, which is a town near to Bhaktivedanta Manor, to do some program, and we were going in one of those vans, and I was sitting in the front passenger seat, and sitting just behind me was his wife, who I'd never met before, and she knew that I was a close friend of Kalyapani, her husband. She must have known, I guess he told her. Because even after we'd been out of touch for years, but we had a bond that we joined together when we came back together. So he mentioned, and she was going to the program, he wasn't. And she was just extolling him to me, saying, oh, such a great devotee and this and that. And I didn't want to say anything because he told me she's going to leave. And I really felt sorry for her because she was such a nice girl and she was very young still. I guess she must have been in her early 20s or something like that. And I asked Kalyapani then, what's she going to do? And he said, he seemed to be a little callous. To me, it seemed a little callous. He said, oh, she'll probably marry again. Anyway, that was one thing. Some other things he told me, that must have been sometime later, because I used to, from about the mid-80s onward, I used to go to England on and off, usually briefly, usually once a year or every 2 years or something like that. I used to see them, used to see him there. And he told me he'd been through a very difficult period, as Adhikata Prabhu said. He'd mentioned about his ups and downs. He had an eating addiction, which means you just keep on eating lots of it. He'd been through some kind of treatment for that, and it affected his spiritual life, but he really really came back. I think after that time, that real intensity of his, almost over intense, that cooled down after that time. And there was just the intensity focused on devotional service. I guess you could say he matured a lot as a person. And then at some time he moved to Mayapur. And I used to be in and out of Mayapur a lot when I was based in Bangladesh and Southeast Asia. I used to see him from time to time, and we reconnected. We'd meet and talk with each other. I remember once we went on a japa walk. He knew the back path from Mayapur to Rajpura, where the Jagannath temple is. So we didn't talk much, we were just chanting japa. And it was just like that previously, where we used to be on Sankirtan together, chanting. And we didn't talk, but we didn't need to talk. We were just there together in devotional service. And we discussed so many things. And about maybe 2 or 3 years, maybe a couple of years ago, I don't know if I wrote him an email or what, but I noticed that he had edited a book called Gauramandal, I believe it is, by Manjari Devidasi. And I noticed that it was a very well-written book. And if you see a well-written book, usually there's a good editor there also. So I mentioned that, and I asked him if he might be interested in editing for me, because devotee had been editing for me for years, had decided not to do that anymore. And he agreed. He said he could do it little bit by little bit. He's not very computer literate, doesn't have a computer, he'd have to use someone else's. But he said he could give it a try. He says he's not very expert, but he can adjust a few things. So for the last couple of years, I guess it is, we've been a little less than that. We've been in contact regularly by email, and I'm sending him small portions, because he just asked for a little bit at a time, of the ongoing manuscript of a book which I'm in the process of compiling, called The Mood and Mission of Srila Prabhupada. So I'd send him little bit by little bit, and he'd send it back with a few comments. He did a very light edit, and he'd point out different things. At one point he sent me a link to some drama that he'd performed in Alachua. Really, really excellent. I wrote back and said that was really... I watched it and said that was, he really played the part well, blind Dhritarashtra. And he appreciated that. He said, well, no one else was so appreciative. Then, just last year, we had a Shravan Kirtan camp in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I invited him to attend, which he kindly did, and we were happily together there. But as usual, he was keeping himself in the background. He did lead one kirtan. He didn't want to speak at all. Myself, Jayadvaita Swami, we were the speakers. But he was happy to be there, and he told me afterwards, he said that this quality of shravan and kirtan, I wish I could get that all the time. He felt very rejuvenated, and several devotees expressed they were very happy that he was there, just very senior man, but keeping himself in the background. Yeah, he led one standing kirtan, and then sometimes he'd get the harmony. I would ask him to sing Jai Radha Madhava, usually before the class. Yeah, he was keeping a low profile, despite being very senior. And we were all looking forward to seeing him again at the next Shravan Kirtan camp. I was regularly in email contact with him. I was just going to send him another section of my book to edit, and then I got the news. Time. Krishna is the time factor. He was killed in a motorcycle accident. Be careful. Motorcycles, very dangerous. Murder cycle. I heard Srila Prabhupada call them murder cycle. So, that's it. He passed on. One of my disciples who's in Alachua wrote and said that she also felt as a great personal loss because he had been giving her advice, and he said that, well, he and I were in much, both of us, we were in much the same mood as when we first joined this movement. So we really, our bond was there from the beginning because we didn't change. Many things in ISKCON have changed, but we're both old school, as they say. We just believe in doing things simply and straightforwardly and doing things the way that Srila Prabhupada wanted, or the way that Srila Prabhupada did things. So he was, she appreciated that guidance he was giving to her. But anyway, he's passed on now. Hare Krishna. And look forward to seeing you again. Somewhere. At the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, that's for sure. It's not all over. He didn't die, he left the body. We don't usually say someone died. He left the body, that's all. He's gone on somewhere else. He'll go on with his devotional service. That's for sure. Parthanaivehanamutra, vinashas tasya vidyate. Nahi kalyana krit kaschid durgating tata gachit. Krishna told Arjuna, don't worry. Don't worry. Nothing to worry. Someone who's engaged in auspicious activities, they never meet with a bad destiny, durgati. They must get sadgati. They must go to a good destination. There's nothing to lament in that sense. Although that we lament that we won't get the association of that devotee for some time. I also don't have an editor. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Kalyapani Prabhu. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Vancha kalpa tarupyascha. Kripa sindhavyavacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Paribhadato jano yata tata vānano mukharo navayam vicharayamaha. Hari rasamadira madati matta bhuvi vilutama nartama nirvishama. Dante nidhaya churnakam padaya nipatya kritva chakakushata metadahang bravimi. He sadhava sakalameva vihaya durad chaitanya chandra charane kurutanuragam. Hare Krishna.